CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast for Sunday, March the 22nd, 2009. And we've got a trio here tonight. We're joined by Mark. Mark, how are you doing?
Doing well, Nick. Thanks for having me back on.
Of course, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
It has. I think it was like Christmas time, maybe. It's been a while.
Yeah. And Mike is here as well. Mike, how are you?
Exhausted.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
You've been running a hotel, haven't you?
I have had company for the past week and a half, and I still have company for a few days yet to come. So there you have it.
Well, you know what they say about company, right?
They're unwanted and warrant no gaming time whatsoever.
Yeah. My dad said company and family, having family through it. It's kind of like fish. It's fun, good for the first few days, but after a while it really stinks.
Yeah. No, it's cool having everybody around. It's just, you know, people want to use the living room and I want to play, you know, games, and that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm Nick, and I have company on the way in the form of a baby. So
she won't want the TV for a while though.
She's going to be sticking around for 18 years. So
or more.
Or more. But, yes, so this is CoOptiCast episode number 15. Okay. So what have you guys been playing, Mike? How about you? What have you been playing?
Well, you and I, since the last podcast, wrapped up 50 Cent Blood in the Sand, which may, in fact, have the best ending of any other game.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's pretty incredible, and I think it surprised both of us when we found that we both wanted to play through it again.
Immediately.
So I think we'll be having some fun with that for a while. Played a little Rock Band 2 with the company. Some more Demigod. Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. And Altered Beast is just as terrible as I remember it being. And the past good while of my gaming time has been eaten up by Resident Evil 5.
Cool. Which we'll be having a review of later on in this podcast.
Indeed.
Mark, how about you? What have you been playing?
Well, I've had a lot going on in the evenings this week, so it's just been little 15, 30-minute snips here and there of stuff. The biggest thing is Halo Wars. Got that one, picked it up, and it's been really enjoyable. Fun. You guys were right about the controls. It's very easy to use. It totally convinced me. I didn't think you could really do an RTS on the consoles, but yeah, it works, and it works really well. It's fast, it's easy, but it still feels like the base building, and there's just enough of it to keep it where it feels like a classic RTS. Really fun game, really, really well done so far. I'm looking forward to doing some co-op now that I've got maybe an evening where I could actually devote a couple hours to do that with somebody. Cool. Other than that, I've been playing some Lumines, just to kind of chill. Yeah, like every once in a while. You play that, Mike? You know that game?
Yes, Lumines is a pretty awesome game.
Yeah. Is that how it's said, Lumines?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. I like it anyway, however you say it. And the biggest one has been Blue Dragon Plus, because I've been on the road quite a bit this week. It's kind of like, you know how as good as Halo Wars was for a console RTS, Blue Dragon Plus is an RTS for the DS, and it just doesn't work as well. A lot of issues with the game. The presentation's really good. There's like full motion video scenes after almost every other mission. It's really a good looking game, but the play wise, it's just some things that are really making me pull my hair out. Units won't move where they're supposed to, and you have to divide your team into too many small parts. It's just kind of been rough. But that's basically my week in gaming this week.
Cool. Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of dabbling in just about everything. Half hour here and a half hour there. I finally downloaded the Battleforge beta. I checked that out, and they just posted a preview on the site for that. Very cool and unique RTS game, which bases itself on playing cards, kind of like Magic the Gathering. So I was pleasantly surprised with that. Played a bunch of Dawn of War 2 this afternoon. I'd like to try and wrap that up soon. God, I love that game. So much fun. Checked out Demigod, Peggle as well on the 360.
I forgot I'd been playing Peggle too.
Yeah, Peggle's always a good time waster. Resident Evil 5, Mercs mode of that mostly, and that's a lot of fun. Also checked out the first like hour and a half of the Eat Lead Matt Hazard game, which is got one of the strangest stories in video games. Basically, you're a video game character, a classic video game character sucked into another video game that's being hacked by a video game character.
Sweet.
So, it does a lot of plays on itself and doesn't take itself seriously. And there's a lot of funny things out there. It's very old school feeling, but it's kind of frustrating at times. So, just cracked open Valkyria Chronicles for the PS3, which is an excellent, I guess it's a strategy RPG kind of a game. It's kind of a hybrid.
It's a action strategy RPG, if that makes sense.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous visuals,
and if you
great
own a,
music and presentation.
If you own a PS3 and you haven't played this game, you are part of the problem.
Mike's mad because it only sold 30,000 copies in the U.S. So he probably not going to be getting a sequel here. And then finally, most of my Friday night and a lot this weekend, I've been playing Phantasy Star Portable for review for the site. And from what I remember, it's pretty much identical to Phantasy Star Universe on the 360. Mm-hmm. Same story and same missions and stuff, but it's tweaked for a portable platform. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Definitely a few gripes, but some good stuff there. Anyway, let's get on to the co-op news. And the big story of this past week, which became a non-story, was that Bioshock 2 was going to have co-op. And then I think it was about 2 or 3 days later, the story came out that, no, it's not going to have co-op. It was just an internet rumor that spread far and wide to the outer reaches of the galaxy.
That's what happens when someone gets a copy of Game Informer early and just starts spreading shit.
Yeah, you know, that always seems to happen, like, right around the time magazines hit the stands. Somebody gets it early, and they decide to either spew the appropriate information or make stuff up, and they'll post they'll even post a picture of the article, but you won't be able to read anything. And I think that's basically what happened this time. Everything was wrong. They had things like there was no big daddies in the game. It was just gonna be this big sister. There's just all this like crazy stuff, and it was shortly after that it was debunked. But I mean, basically. What I want to discuss is when we posted it, some people were like, oh, cool, great, it has co-op. And other people were like, well, this is a single-player game, you know. Does it really need co-op? So, I don't know, Mike, what do you think?
Does Bioshock 2 need co-op?
Yeah.
Well, if they intend to make it in the spirit of the first game, I really doubt it does. I felt no need for anybody else to play through the original with me.
Right. What about you, Mark?
Well, I didn't play the original, but from what I've heard, it's a very story-based kind of a discovery is part of the fun, right? I mean, isn't that basically how you would explain it? And a lot of twists and turns to the plot that really probably, I just don't see how tacking on co-op would have made a whole lot of difference. I don't know if it'd work or not. Of course, you know, a lot of people would say the same thing about Resident Evil 2, so.
Yeah. Now, here's the funny thing with it is before the official information came out, the story kind of just sounded so-so. But then when the official info came out, what the story of it actually is you play as the first Big Daddy with the little sisters, and you're kind of going through the story. So what I thought is it could actually be a pretty cool co-op if player two got to be the little sister. And player one, you know, they were in charge of protecting them, just like, you know, the Big Daddy really does. So it's not a balanced kind of a co-op situation, but it's a really strongly defined role co-op thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So there's an opportunity there for it, but fortunately it sounds like nothing's going to happen. But according to the article, there is going to be some sort of multiplayer.
Mm.
I don't know what, though. So maybe there'll be like a separate mode where it's kind of like that. Maybe it's a Big Daddy's versus Little Sister's mode or something. I don't know.
How big is your daddy? I don't buy multiplayer in the BioShock universe at all. I don't know
how they're going to make it work.
Look at a game like The Darkness, which was a pretty strong single player game, and they tacked on multiplayer to it that no one played. So
now here's the thing too, nobody's brought up. System Shock 2 had probably one of the greatest co-op mods for it. Like, people raved about the co-op in System Shock 2. And that, you know, and BioShock was kind of the spiritual successor to that game. So, I mean, it does, co-op can work in that kind of a universe.
But BioShock's story was directly centralized on you being a singular character.
Yeah, right. I mean, if the story is written for it, it's kind of silly to tack on, clone number two and play through it like that. But I don't know. We've seen stories where you can write it for two characters and it works really well. You know, Gears of War, Resident Evil, Halo. Just some examples.
Halo, yeah.
Anyway, so it did and it didn't. Maybe it'll change. Who knows? It's still a long ways off till that's released coming out this fall for 360, PS3, and PC simultaneous release. Next up, we had a surprise trailer from the Behemoth, makers of Castle Crashers, and their new game, aptly titled Game Number 3.
Yes.
Which is another game that's a long ways off. They actually said probably next year, but they released a trailer of it, and everything in the trailer suggested it's going to be another very cooperative title. Looks like a platformer. A lot of like jumping puzzles and climbing puzzles you see where the players kind of like helped each other up and helped them jump up the higher places that they couldn't reach and things like that. Did you guys watch the trailer?
I did, and I love their art style, and crying robots really make me want to play the game.
It was a very dramatic trailer with all the music. It was like an opera.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Those guys really know how to market their games. They do, you know, ahead of time. Get people pumped up for them.
I still say that the opening little credit crawl for Castle Crashers may be the best thing I've ever seen in any video game ever.
It's also loud. The audio in that game was so loud by default.
Yes.
I know. It's
gotta crank it down every time.
So, but yeah, looked very co-op.
The little touches based on the little touches with like helping somebody up over the blocks and things looked really good.
Yeah,
looked really cool.
And both their past games did have co-op, Alien Hominid and Castle Crashers. So chances are good that this will. They didn't officially say it would or wouldn't, but if I'm a betting man, I'm going to bet on it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Moving on. We finally got Ghostbusters co-op info. The bastards didn't give us the exclusive. I tried. I really did. I tried schmoozing those Atari folks at New York Comic Con. I'm like, you know, we are the prime source for co-op gaming. We really should give it.
We really should
be releasing this info, but apparently I didn't give them enough money.
Yeah, because your money hat money. Was the wrong size.
they didn't like the stickers I gave them, apparently. Like, what is this?
You should have given them a mug or something. Bring some hats, t-shirts.
It's like, does this get us the exclusive? But, so we finally got the co-op info. And this is for the next-gen version, because we already knew that the Wii version would have local split-screen co-op. That was something that they did actually announce ahead of time. The next-gen version is going to have actually a bunch of different co-op style modes. There's a survival mode, containment mode. Containment is just capture everything, basically. Destruction is you actually got to break everything you can to get money. Like if you're in like the museum level, you just basically just trash the place while you're capturing ghosts. And the more you trash the place while you're doing it, the more money you bring in.
Or the more damage you cause, right?
Yeah. Protection mode where you'll have something you'll have to be guarding and you'll have to protect it. There's a thief mode where ghosts will be trying to steal the artifacts and you got to stop them. And then there's the slime dunk mode where you got to dunk the most slimers. You got to love that.
A great name.
And then the big one for us, I mean, all those modes sound like they have some sort of co-op nature to them, but there's a co-op campaign mode that's separate from the game's campaign, but it is persistent across multiple games. So basically, you'll create your online character, and you'll purchase equipment and stuff, and you'll team up with people, and you can basically have the game randomly generate missions from a set of 12 maps and 4 different environments. Or you can actually custom kind of queue up what you want. You can create a playlist, basically, of these maps in succession. Then you go through and, you know, you solve whatever these missions are, and you'll get money, and you can upgrade your equipment and player. And, again, it's persistent from match to match or game to game. So kind of this pseudo-MMO kind of a thing. I think that's probably about it.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, yeah, kind of disappointing that there's no campaign co-op, but
sounds
pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I can't say that I'm not disappointed at the lack of campaign co-op, because if anything was ripe for having that, it would be the Ghostbusters franchise. I mean, you've definitely got some. Got a band of characters that would easily be fun to play as, but as long as they the multiplayer modes are fun, I'll be happy. The game looks pretty fun too.
I was just gonna say, whichever one has local split screen. I mean, I know the Wii. Is it confirmed that the Wii version has local split screen co-op for the whole campaign?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the more stylized characters, right? Graphically.
Yep.
Yeah. And is it going to have all these other multiplayer modes and the online stuff too?
I don't believe so, no.
Yeah. See, it would be the ideal game for our family if it had local split screen. I mean, when I was watching just the preview, or the little trailer you sent here before the podcast, the music was playing and the boys came running in and they were like, oh man, how many players can play at the same time? And I'm like, well, I think 4, but I don't know if you guys could play at the same time as me. So, if you could do that, though, man, it looks great. I mean, like Gears of War, but Ghostbusters universe, so awesome.
Uh-huh.
Even if it was just the Horde mode, I think I'd have a lot of fun with that. But this is really taking it up to the next step, really. I mean, except for having co-op campaign, it sounds like they're doing everything right as far as the co-op is concerned.
Yeah.
Very exciting. I just hope it's got local split screen.
Yeah, they haven't said.
Which usually means no.
You know, yeah, it usually means they would promote it, but
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I will send an email and see if I can get it out of PR.
Yeah.
And we can update that. It's a shame because, as strong as online play is and, you know, everybody wants it, it seems one or the other always falls by the wayside. It's either it has split screen or it doesn't have online. You know, it's either or.
Should be both.
Damn it, we want it all.
Yeah, everything.
We co-op gamers are a greedy lot.
But all for the common good, of course.
Exactly. So we got a little bit of extra time here. I want to just throw another quick news story out there. Blizzard launched the new Battle.net, and Mike and I talked about it actually earlier today.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. It's
pretty slick. You can add all your old Blizzard games to it. You just need the CD key. And you can actually download them right from Battle.net now, so you don't even have to have the CD anymore.
Well,
as long as you have your valid key.
That isn't exactly new. If
No,
they're the Blizzard store that they launched, I think, around June-ish of last year. If you bought games, they put all their games online for direct download from their store when you bought them. But part and parcel with that came the ability to upload your CD keys to the online store, and it would tie that into a Blizzard account that you made, and it would store all of your files online. You could download a Mac or a PC client for every game. And what the new Battle.net did is, instead of that being tied to the Blizzard stores, it ties it to Battle.net itself. And when you log into the new Battle.net using your old Blizzard ID, or if you don't have one, you create one, it gives you the option of taking your World of Warcraft account and unifying it with the Battle.net account.
Mm-hmm.
So for any and all Blizzard titles for now and until they decide to change the system, if they ever do, you will have a unified login.
Yep. So that means Diablo 3 coming up. You can save your you can see all your info there as well with all your other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like there's going to be some possible achievement kind of info there, as well as cross game communication tools.
Yeah, well, nice. World of Warcraft added achievements with Wrath of the Lich King, so those should probably be visible through battle.net at some point.
Yeah. Alrighty, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our 5-minute game review of Resident Evil 5.
Not feeling like a big enough nerd? Is your comic book knowledge below par?
Well, this doctor prescribes 1 to 2 hours of comic discussion weekly from Johnny Gigawatt and the Tiger Men from Mars.
Get your Tuesday dose from Sam Bambino and the Funk Doctor.
It's like an action movie bonanza for comic nerds. Coming to you nearly live from JohnnyGigawatt.com and the mighty planet Red Mars.
And we're back from that lovely advertisement, and we are going to do our 5-minute game review of Resident Evil 5. And for those of us in the audience that have played it, I would like to ask a question. Do you or do you not feel that Resident Evil 5 is to Resident Evil as Metal Gear Solid 4 was to Metal Gear Solid?
The funny thing is, I'm probably the person that shouldn't answer that question, because I frankly didn't like Metal Gear Solid 4 or many of the
Resident Evil. I'm not making a comment on the quality of Resident Evil or of either game, really, but more of a story-based one. Is the story, and if you have played these games, is the story relate in the same way? In that all the old characters come back.
Yeah, I can see that.
And the last level is, takes place on the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, okay.
Well, anyway, that little indulgence of mine aside, Resident Evil 5, I would say, is mostly awesome. It's a little shy of completely awesome, but it's a great amount of fun to play, especially in co-op. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I've never been a big Resident Evil fan. Honestly, the last Resident Evil game I completed was the very first one on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit of 4, but I never got into it enough to actually play through it. But Resident Evil 5 actually kind of hooked me, not only with just the co-op play, but I did get into the story of it. And probably because a lot of the things from 1 were in there again. But yeah, I mean, they took a big risk by going co-op. A pretty big departure for the series, as well as it's not a survival horror game so much as it is an action game anymore. I mean, the horror or the suspense in the game comes from
the intensity of the combat.
Yeah, right. You know, your partner gets in trouble a lot and it flashes, help on the screen, and you gotta, quick go find them and break them away from a mob of the infected or whatever has them. You don't know what's coming around the next corner or how big the next creature is gonna end up being that you're facing, and it's just there's a lot of, my favorite part about the game was there's a lot of oh wow moments. Even just the first cutscene that really stood out to me is it's in the first level and it's towards the end, and you hear these motorcycles coming, and the camera work there, the sound work is just, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's Hollywood quality cinema. And that cutscene, like, from that moment on, I was, like, absolutely hooked to the game, because I couldn't wait to see if there was going to be another, cutscene up to that nature.
And there are several.
The cutscenes are, I mean, they're gorgeous. They did a bang-up job on those. They actually created co-op QuickTime events for some of the cutscenes.
I'm going to go ahead and poo-poo that choice.
They're not too bad. Actually, it gets really bad at the very last scene in the game. There's some pretty difficult QuickTime events, but
yeah,
for most of the game, it's not too bad.
Yeah, you know, I'm really enjoying it. I am actually on the final boss, and I'm finding that the difficulty takes a very steep ramp up right at the very end. But the thing that I like most about the game is that it, you know, it may not be as puzzle based or as slow paced as previous Resident Evils, but it still really rewards players that explore. There's all kinds of hidden treasure. There's, you know, the emblems and things that you can hunt and collect for different items. And there's just a lot to the game. And I'm going to go ahead and say that this is probably one of, if not the best looking game I've ever seen on console. Like, there's some stuff that comes a little later in the game that is just so beautiful that I was, you know, kind of awestruck. And
it's okay. I was just gonna say the scene where you're on the Humvee going through the Sahara savannah,
mm-hmm.
and the bikers are kind of chasing you. I mean, it could very well be a cutscene, but you know, it's gameplay. I mean, it's just
it's
really pretty looking.
And the real time cutscenes in this game are just they're so good looking that I made the mistake of thinking they were FMV. But then I noticed that if you tossed on a bulletproof vest or something, you were wearing it in the cutscene. So that clued me in that, hey, they actually are rendering this with the game engine. And it's just, it's gorgeous. And I hate to be a graphics whore, but, you know, this is a game that is really nice to look at.
Yeah, and one thing we didn't touch on was the weapon system. All the weapons are upgradable. And the cool part for co-op players is you can, if you join your friend's game, you bring those weapons and stuff with you, your upgraded weapons. And so, yeah, you can really help out a friend if they're stuck somewhere and you have like a maxed out shotgun. I actually had this happen. Somebody joined my game on like the fourth level and I was just stuck at this boss guy. And he came in and he took him out in like three shots with a maxed out shotgun.
Yeah, I can't wait to come back with my explosive round grenade launcher and just take that through the first level of the game and cause some havoc.
Yeah.
But and the one thing that that's really standing out to me actually is the boss fights. You know, I was an enormous fan of Dead Space, and the size and scale of the boss fights in that game was pretty incredible, and Resident Evil 5 gives it a pretty good run for its money in terms of holy shit, that thing is huge.
Yeah, definitely. And the we were talking about it before the podcast, but most of the bosses are there's a co-op strategy involved to beating them. Yeah, it's not a requirement, but you can definitely tell that the way they designed it, that if you can come up with that co-op strategy, then you can take them out a little bit easier.
Yeah, it's definitely best played in co-op, kind of to the detriment of the single player game. But you know, we like to play co-op. We like to play co-op here, and that's the way we're playing through the game, and we're having great fun with it. So,
yep, definitely.
Well, if that's it, I'd like to move on to the community corner / reader question of the week. We recently received an email from an anonymous person, from what I understand, that states, "I just wanted to say thank you for launching this site. While I still love a good competitive or single-player experience, I also seek out more co-op games that are suitable for my daughter and I to play together. Too often, gaming sites ignore this part of gameplay in their reviews and discussions of a game. And you may be wondering why we dragged Mark onto the podcast. Now is his chance to shine. So, Mark, could you talk a little about what you do for the site and Casual Fridays?
You betcha. Well, basically, about a year or so ago when Nick was looking for people to help with the site, I just thought to myself he was looking for helpers with co-op, and that's pretty much how I like to play my games. I'm a dad, I've got two boys, And any time that I'm playing video games at home, it's almost always with my kids. Very little time to play single-player stuff. That would be, you know, a dad game. So, you know, I think that's kind of what I bring to the site, basically. And I've started a column. I guess we started this probably back in December, maybe, or January.
I think it was right after the new year.
Yeah, okay. So it was in January, called Co-op Casual Friday. And basically what we do in this is we're looking for games that are good to play with a casual audience. And I know most of our readers are probably the hardcore, you know, typical gamer. And I kind of feel like that's me deep down, because I've grown up with games, played games my whole life. But there's a lot of hardcore games that are not appropriate for kids, or they're too, I don't know what the word would be, just too difficult or too strange. There's too many conventions that they're not used to in the games that a more casual person who hasn't played video games all the time can't really get into them. So basically what we're looking for in the Casual Friday column is we're looking for games that usually are local co-op, so it's you can sit down on the couch with your kids or your wife or your husband or your uncle or, you know, someone like that and play through the co-op. We're looking for stuff that's not just mind-numbingly difficult. You know, I wouldn't think Ikaruga would be a good choice for a Casual Friday game, even though it's local co-op and all, and because it's just so difficult. The last thing was finding stuff that's appropriate for kids, because, you know, a lot of the co-op stuff is geared towards your shooters, and a lot of those are objectionable for some families. I'll admit, I don't like my kids playing games where they have to shoot other people. I'm all for shooting aliens, you know, so that's fine. But it kind of narrows it down. And so basically the kinds of games that I wanted to review for the Casual Fridays is your Lego games are really like the gold standard. The Lego games, you know, they're cute, they're fun, they're based on appealing licenses, both for adults and for kids. You know, there's Lego Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Batman, all sorts of cool stuff there. The games are easy, but there's still a lot of depth there. So the kid can play through, and you can just go through and solve the game, and then maybe the gamer person is going to go back later and find all the red bricks, or, you know, upgrade all the characters all the way, or unlock new characters. And, you know, there's no dying. When you die, you just totally come back, you respawn right there, so it's not frustrating for a young kid when they're trying to play through. And then the other type of game, really, is your Rock Band, your Guitar Hero, your games like this, where it's stuff that a non-traditional gamer would like. You know, like you might even have someone who doesn't play games at all, but they want to come to your house and play Rock Band or something like that. So that's basically the kind of things that we like to cover on that. I'm thinking any of those games, the Lego games, would be great to play through with a kid if you haven't already done those. I was looking through the list of, you can use our sort through the game list, and I'll pull that up right here. But I'm guessing probably the Wii and the 360 are the best for best systems to look at with games in regards to playing with a kid, because the Wii, obviously, it's a casual gamer's system. And the Xbox 360 is just, there's just so much there, so many games, that there's a lot of good stuff there. But in your on your Wii, go ahead, Dan.
I just want to step in real quick. We also have a top games list that's a family friendly version of it. If you scroll down on the right side of the homepage, you'll see a link there, and we have the top rated games that are rated E. 10 plus or lower.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just kind of reinforce what you just said. Basically, the Xbox 360 has five games listed there. And top one is actually Burnout Paradise.
Yeah.
But under there, we got Lego Star Wars, Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Star Wars 2, and Banjo-Kazooie. And then the Wii as well has Lego Star Wars, Super Mario Galaxy, Bloom Blocks, Ben 10, and Endless Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But the PS3 actually only has three co-op games that are rated E10 or less.
Yeah.
Like, that are listed on our site. So the only one outside the Lego ones, really, in Burnout, would be Little Big Planet.
Yeah, well, and that's so a great
if you guys are,
too.
Right, yeah. So if you guys are looking for you know, what people are saying are the best family-friendly ones, we do got that have that list there to check out.
Yeah. And, you know, check the Casual Fridays column, because we, every time, it's going to be something that's appropriate for kids, really. We did the Ben 10 series this week. I think the last time I did Donkey Konga, which was one of those rhythm games. That's a lot of fun. That would be, you could still play it on the Wii. We've done your Super Mario Galaxy. That's a real kid-friendly game, and it's real good for a second younger player who can just kind of like shoot stars and still be involved. Boom Blocks, I've heard, is a really good one for kids. I haven't played that one myself, but it's supposed to be.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I need to get that. I keep waiting for it to get down cheap. Because that's another thing, is getting games that are more a value thing, which is good when you have kids. Some of those LEGO titles are getting pretty cheap right now. I know the LEGO Star Wars Complete Saga was down to about $20 or so. You can't really beat that for as many hours as we've played it. But this kind of ties into something that I've been wanting to do, and that is for all of our listeners out there and readers to decide, I'm looking to get a list compiled of some demos that feature co-op or a an Xbox Live Arcade game that has a trial where two players can play through. I know a lot of the trials and demos of co-op games don't feature the co-op in the demo, but some of them do. And those are really good to just keep on, you know, on the hard drive for the kids when you want to play for just 15 or 20 minutes here and there. You can play through a few levels of things like that. And I know the LEGO Indie game had a demo, and it had co-op in it, and it was really enjoyable. It was the whole first level, if I remember correctly. But go ahead.
You know what co-op demo featured co-op? Resident Evil 5.
Yeah, that's right.
It may not be appropriate for kids, but, you know, it's out there.
Well, I played through it with my 14-year-old, and, I say played through it. We played it several times and died repeatedly to the huge dude with the axe. So, yeah, not exactly kid-friendly, but any demo that kid-friendly or not, yeah, I kind of think that would be a good resource to have is some co-op games that you can just download the demo and play through that way. I just wish Geometry Wars had, Geometry Wars. Isn't that your favorite, Nick?
Yeah, there was no co-op in the demo.
Yeah, there's no co-op in the demo, unfortunately. Otherwise, I'd probably still be on it right now. But anyway, yeah, that's basically it with the casual thing. And I always try to put, at least whether it's a title is when I do my reviews, whether it's kid-friendly or not. You can usually tell by the rating, of course, but, you know, everybody has different standards is what they think is suitable for their kids. But anyway, that's basically it, I guess.
Cool.
Thanks.
Yeah, and you know, if you have a suggestion for one,
oh yeah,
you can send
absolutely.
It to our tips,
I'm always looking for
our tips email. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with the end of the podcast.
That's been the Co-Opticast for this week. We'd like to let you know about the upcoming games between now and the next fortnight when we record again. We have the Red Alert 3 Ultimate Edition for the PlayStation 3 coming out on the 23rd. We have Battle Forge for the PC coming out on the 23rd. And Guitar Hero Metallica coming out on the 29th. So if you want to rock out, you know, there you go. As well as around the site, we've reviewed several titles and posted several features that we'd love you to check out. We've reviewed Burnout Paradise, 50 Cent, Blood on the Sand, High Altitude Warfare Experimental, a.k.a. Hawks, Halo Wars, Resident Evil 5. We posted our Beyond Co-op reviews for the month of March, which contained some reviews of non-co-op games, such as Mushroom Man the Spore Wars, Fear 2 Project Origin, Killzone 2, Spider-Man Web of Shadows, Retro Game Challenge, and Street Fighter 4. And we have begun posting our new Battlefield Report column that Jim's done a fantastic job with. So this has been the Co-Opticast, the official podcast of Co-Optimist.com, and part of the Colony of Gamers Podcast Network. If you listen to us on iTunes, if you haven't left us feedback, we don't like it very much.
Do it. Come on. Everybody else is.
We really don't want to have to leave feedback for our own podcast. It would make us look so much better if you helped us out. And you can also follow us on Twitter. The editors usually have a Twitter account you can find buried on the site somewhere. And Co-Optimus has one, twitter.com/Co-Optimus. We sometimes do giveaways on there, so it would behoove you to follow our Twitter. And for Nick and Mark, I'm Mike, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.